Hebrews chapter 11. Let me begin from verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Well, let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for your word to us this morning, and we pray that you would strengthen our faith. We pray that you'd meet us where we are, patiently and graciously, and wherever we are on that journey of faith, that we would learn from these examples and this great roll call of faith, both this morning and in coming weeks. And today we pray you would help us be strengthened about what it is to be sharing the essentials of faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, back in the Olympics, way back in 1968 in Mexico City, and no, I wasn't around then, but back in 68, Tanzania sent John Akwari to run the marathon and represent their nation. And he didn't win a medal. In fact, he came dead last, but is still really quite famous. You see, what happened was that John Akwari, halfway through the race, just about at the 13th mile, as people jostled for position, was pushed and shoved, and he tripped and fell and dislocated his knee. He was bandaged up, strapped up his knee, and he hobbled on for the rest of the 13 miles or so. And John Akwari, famously, 1 hour and 5 minutes after the race was won, hobbled into the stadium, finished the final laps of the track with the sun going down, with nearly everybody in the stadium having gone home, and stumbled over the line and into a stretcher that was waiting to take him to hospital. It was astonishing. And at the press conference afterwards, they asked him, "Mr. Akwari, why did you keep going when it was obvious you were out the race?" And he replied, "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." It's an astonishing, true story about keeping going in the race. And it's this keeping going, this running the race that we've started as Christians, that the whole letter to the Hebrews is about. It's full of warnings and encouragements to keep going. And specifically, as we come to chapter 11 over our next few Sundays, it warns us not to stumble and stop, but to continue, sometimes hobbling on, sometimes hurrying at a better pace, but always with our eyes fixed on our promised future. And so, friends, this morning, whether your faith is flying or whether it's fatigued, which I suspect for a lot of us is exactly how we feel at the moment, well, then this chapter will be, I pray, a wonderful spiritual shot in the arm for all of us, a wonderful encouragement. And today's passage explains, particularly in these 7 verses, why faith is absolutely essential. We've got 2 points. The first is that faith is future-focused, and it's founded on God's word. It's the first 3 verses. Let me read verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's not a full, biblically comprehensive definition of faith, but it is the very essence of faith, as demonstrated by many Old Testament figures and fathers of the faith that the writer of this chapter in this letter will now draw on. He wants us clear that their faith was confident and assured. It wasn't imaginary. It wasn't mere wishful thinking or touching word or fingers crossed. It wasn't a leap in the dark of the unknown. It was this settled conviction focused on a future that, sure, wasn't yet seen, but was so promised by the God who always and only delivers. It was as if they could see it and lived in light of it. The word faith here in our Bibles can also be translated trust. And, you know, I wonder if that nowadays is perhaps a more helpful way of reading this word. We often think, don't we, nowadays, and a bit suspicious, people of faith are sort of just fans of fairy tales. No, the Bible is clear that Christian faith, trust, is focused and fixed on promises of life in the future that are so certain, so sure, we can be so assured of, that they can define our living in the present. We know they're to come. I was thinking of what might be examples of this. You know, perhaps a baby on the way. We know, hopefully it's coming, and live in light of that as we get prepared. Perhaps a wedding, perhaps a new job or a new home or a new school. Things yet to come, but lived out now. But none quite sum it up. And actually, the very best picture of this is the very first people that this writer was writing to, writing this letter. And we're told about them just before our reading in chapter 10, verse 34. He says this of them. He says, You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. He reminds them that when the authorities confiscated and plundered their possessions because they were Christians to try and deter them, astonishingly, their faith, their trust was so future-focused. It seems they gladly said, as the authorities and bailiffs came round, take the lot. We have far better yet to come. Their faith was focused on the assurance of their future. Now, perhaps we still fear that faith is just a feeling, though, albeit perhaps a very strong one and a very influential one, but just a feeling. Some have, some don't. Some are faith-type people, some are really not, more fact-type people. But our writer reminds us here that faith isn't a mere feeling. No, it's founded on the fact of God's word. Look what they say in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. He's using it as an illustration. It seems as the writer turns back to page one of their Bible to sort of prepare this roll call of faith that they'll read about over the next few weeks, he looks down at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and is reminded that the Bible says we live in a visible, glorious universe that we can see and enjoy, but it was created by and from what is invisible. God and his voice. And so his command, his word, is both powerful and dependable. And so faith, trusting what God says, isn't simply a strong feeling, but it's the very firmest of foundations. For just as his unseen words bring about a universe that we can see, so our unseen future, when founded on God's word, can be seen, as it were, with the inward eye of faith. Seen by believers, but also seen by others as believers live that faith out in the here and now. So convinced are we of what's to come. Faith is future focused, founded on God's word. So friends, you might well be struggling in your faith, in your trust, in your conviction and assurance, fearing that you might shrink back a bit, just like these first readers of this letter were. Maybe you're hobbling on so much, actually, you're tempted to just pull out the race. Well, this chapter of this book of Hebrews says, don't do that. Focus on the future. Founded on God's word, you can be sure of what lies ahead, of what's to come. Even as we hobble on, it is worth keeping going for. And that's important to remember, because at the time that we're in at the moment, in this kind of pandemic crisis, I've heard plenty of people say, as they look back on 2020, as they go, we go into 2021, saying things like, you know, if COVID has taught me anything, it's live for now. Don't put off those purchases or deny myself that dream. The minute lockdown lifts, I know exactly what I'm doing. The clock is ticking. But that is a mantra that is faithless, because that is a mantra, a philosophy, a worldview that can't see any hope beyond the future of the cemetery. That is a mantra, a worldview that is founded not on firm foundations, but on despair. The clock's ticking. No, Christian faith, our writer says, is founded on promises. And as Christians, we know that it's, founded on the promise by the cross of sins dealt with by Christ, of death defeated in his tomb, of the promise of his return because he rose. Our future is with him, and it's coming. Friends, maybe you look back on more zealous days of faith. You fear that you've grown tired and distracted. Is that you? Are you more interested in perhaps the world these days than God's word? And the future, if anything, has become a little fuzzy and certainly out of focus. Well, let's be those who live by faith. Focus on the future, founded on God's word. Well, if the opening three verses of the chapter assure us that our faith is future focused and founded on God's word, the next four verses, verses 4-7, make clear that faith in God is essential for life with God. It's essential. I've pictured it there as the water, the essentials. And now as this roll call starts and the chapter continues with lots of Old Testament names, we'll wonder, perhaps, are they all just making the same point? But each brings a different aspect and different angle. And today, as I say, Abel and Enoch and Noah we'll look at briefly in turn, showing how essential faith is for life with God. Verse 4 says, looking at Abel, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. It's in Genesis chapter 4 where we can read the story of Adam and Eve's two sons bringing their gift of thanks to the Lord. But Abel, as we're told here, was considered better than Cain's, who in a tragic and jealous rage then kills his brother in response. And the word better here is more helpfully translated and picking up the theme of Genesis 4 as being acceptable. God accepted Abel's gift, commending him as righteous, and yet not Cain's. And in the few details we've got, we should ask, well, why? What was the difference? And scripture interprets scripture, and we're told, not because it was more valuable here, but because Abel gave it by faith. He brought his gift by faith. That is what made him acceptable, and Cain didn't. Friends, let me ask, do you need to remember it is not your doing for God, but your depending on God, your faith, your trust, that gives you utter confidence you're accepted by God? Are you utterly sure, because of who he is and what he's done, you're accepted? He's not going to ask for your LinkedIn profile, your record of achievement to be acceptable for him. No, trusting him means we accept, he accepts us. Perhaps it is that you don't share this faith like Abel. And that means, therefore, that Cain's lack of faith is your warning. Do you need to start exploring a biblical faith like Abel's? If so, good to know you're here on this live stream. Come back week by week as we look at what faith is. Or join our small midweek book group you'll hear more about at the end of the service to explore biblical faith together over Zoom. Abel shows us faith in God is essential if, firstly, we're to be accepted by God. Secondly, Enoch shows us faith in God is essential to please God. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. We don't know much more than these few details taken from Genesis 5 about Enoch. But he here is our example of faith, and a faith so firm that he was spared death on his way into the future promises of eternal life. And the point isn't that, you know, if you just had a faith as strong as Enoch's, if we just trusted enough, that we too could be spared the grave. No, the point is that to please God like Enoch, then it's to live life for God like Enoch. This life of faith, which verse 6 tells us looks like believing God exists and rewards those who seek him. It's to live by faith day by day in the now, sure of what's coming next. And as we go back to Genesis 5 and perhaps dig out the account, it's there that the account tells us that Enoch is described as one who walked with God. And that means that whilst we rightly, as we heard in our children's slot, remember that Christians are those who follow Christ, that's absolutely true. Enoch just unpacks that a bit to explain that that means following Christ is living a life that walks with Christ. It's like a friend on a walk, not having to go single file, socially distant, but side by side, in step with him, his pace, his way, walking along, relating as friends. Let me ask, do you long to please God by walking by faith each day? Are you longing to be in step with him on the journey? That means, are we longing to read and obey his word day by day, more and more? Are we committing our plans in prayer to him and for him day by day, more and more? That's the sort of faith it seems Enoch had as he walked with God. And so let's aim to live in step with God now, certain of the future that's to come. Because faith is essential, yes, to be accepted by God, but also to please God. And thirdly and finally, Noah shows us it's essential to be saved by God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. It's likely that more of us will be more familiar with the account of Noah taken from Genesis chapter 7. His faith in this not yet seen future meant trusting God's promises of judgment. Things that he had not yet seen annoyed anybody in those days were rainwaters and floodwaters in the Middle Eastern desert. And indeed, also, a faith that meant he would be so obedient at what he'd heard about things that seemed so ridiculous and unprecedented that he built this vast ark where floods were unknown and as yet divine judgment not yet seen on this scale. And yet, by faith, we're told, Noah saw. And so he trusted, and so was saved. And all who didn't weren't. See, Noah shows us faith is essential to be saved. It's to hear what God says, to trust him when it seems ludicrous. And the future comes into focus as we obediently put it in practice in the present. Let me ask, does Noah's example encourage you? Because you know that by faith, you are saved. Or does Noah's example warn you? Because you know that without that faith, you're not. Well, three examples from these fathers of faith. Repeated two words, by faith, by faith, by faith. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Accepted, pleased, saved. And so we might well ask, as we come, and as I close, of these famous figures of the Old Testament, what could I possibly have in common with any of them? It's faith. That's the great encouragement. That's the great example. It's faith that always was, and always is, and always will be what is essential to be accepted, to please, and to be saved by God. It is faith, trust in him, that gloriously gives us eyes to see the as yet unseen, and an inward eye, if you like, of reality. Faith that has us live in light of Christ's cross in the past and longing for his return in the future. Friends, spiritually rather than physically, we share something similar to John Aquari. We've started the race, and Hebrews 11 longs we would finish the race, that by faith we would keep going in all that we share in the promises of God. Let me just pray for us as we close. Father, we thank and praise you that it is the simplicity, if we can put it that way, of faith, of trust in who you are and what you've done and what you've promised, that unites all believers around the world today, but in the past and in the future. We pray that however we're feeling this morning, that you would fix our eyes on the firmness of our futures in Christ. Would you bring, we pray, the future into sharp focus by giving us eyes to see the security of the foundations of your word? Would you help us be encouraged and renewed in the promises of Christ, which when we trust them, have us accepted, which when we follow them, help us please you. And when we depend on them, means we know we're saved by you. Pray you'd strengthen our faith as we go into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.